Good dog number 61, disaster search dogs.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Search and rescue dogs are critical in the days following a disaster. To adequately respond to disasters in the United States, such as earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and landslides, I'm told that 400 advanced certified canine search teams are needed. Right now, there are only 180, and experienced teams are retiring every year. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today's guest is Deborah Tosh, Executive Director of the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation, a nonprofit organization that provides the most highly trained canine firefighter disaster search teams in the nation. Welcome, Deborah.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly. I understand congratulations are in order that you've secured a 122-acre, $4.1 million site in Santa Paula, California, to build the first national training center.
Absolutely. It will be the first one in the nation that is specifically designed to train canine disaster search teams.
Well, what have you done up until now?
Well, up until now, we are at the mercy of a lot of recycling centers throughout the state. Our teams will drive to, say, waste management or Vulcan material sites to train, but unfortunately, because it is, you know, they are businesses, what might be a fantastic rubble pile one day, the next day it has been crushed to turn into a road.
Makes sense. That's what happens with rubble. When you say teams, it's dogs and whom?
It is a firefighter, handler, and one dog.
And it's always firefighters?
98% of the time. Every once in a while, we find that special person that's not a firefighter that actually has the time that it requires to do this job.
I would think there's a lot of training involved.
The training is very extensive. Until they reach their FEMA certification, they are driving to rubble sites all across, you know, the state for two times a week, where they will spend half a day there training their dogs.
Are there programs like this in different parts of the United States, or is California just the headquarters of your organization?
Well, it is just the headquarters of our organization. We're the only organization that actually is a nonprofit that trains the canine by professional trainers and then also trains the handler and stays with them through their entire, you know, career. And then we give this resource to the fire departments at absolutely no cost.
So that when a disaster happens, for instance, Hurricane Katrina, were you notified and asked to go into high gear and mobilize teams to send out?
Okay, we are not a deploying agency, meaning all we do is provide these resources to the fire departments and the FEMA task forces. At that point, when a disaster happens, if it's just a small disaster, the local fire department can take care of it, and they will deploy the teams. And the larger it gets, then it becomes a state disaster, so the Office of Emergency Services becomes involved, and they call out additional teams. And then if it's really large, like a Hurricane Katrina or a World Trade Center, then FEMA gets involved, and they call out the task forces. Every one of these teams is actually assigned to a FEMA task force.
I see. Now, do the dogs remain year-round with the firefighters, or are they off living with families and then they're called into service?
They are with the firefighter 24/7. That firefighter goes to the station. The dog goes with him. He goes home. The dog goes with him and is integrated into the family.
We're not talking Dalmatians here.
No, we're not. We're talking primarily Labradors. We do use Golden Retrievers, Border Collies as well.
And why do you choose those breeds in particular?
Oh, that's a good question. We choose those breeds because they're working dog breeds. And these dogs have been hunting for years and years. We're not teaching them how to search. All we are doing is teaching them to, you know, what to search for, which is someone that's still buried alive underneath all of that rubble, as you will, and then to bark, stay there and continue to bark when they find that person.
Are such teams being used right now in China and in Myanmar?
Boy, you know, I certainly hope they are. We do have in this country, there are two of the task forces that are able to respond internationally, but as of yet, China has not requested their aid. I think they have so much structural damage there that they just can't accommodate more resources coming into the country right now.
And is it purely a matter of their incredible ability to sniff things? Is that why dogs are so useful in this regard?
That's exactly it. They're able to, amongst all of the people that are walking around and working on the site, they are still able to recognize if someone is still alive underneath the rubble there, whether it's 20, 25 feet below the surface. And they can cover a large area in a very short amount of time. And when every minute counts, that becomes critical.
Tell me about the training.
The training they go through is, these dogs, to them, this is not a job. It's a game. And what they're taught is every time they go out and find a person, it's like hide and seek. They go up on the pile. They start using their nose. They get that scent. They narrow down to where that scent's coming out of, and they bark. And what they have been taught is that if they bark long enough, magically a toy will appear out of that spot, and they get to play tug with the person that's buried.
Interesting. So you do this training by actually hiding a human being under rubble?
That we do. It's hard to teach them to look for people buried if we don't actually bury those people.
So you ask for volunteers to be buried under rubble?
We
I want that job.
It's not the most fun job in the world. And a lot of times handlers end up hiding for each other because it does, it's, you know, if you're in a wood pile in the summertime, it gets very hot. It's cold in the rubble, the concrete in the wintertime. And, of course, whenever you're in those environments, there's all the natural little critters in the pile. So it takes some dedicated people that's willing to do that week in and week out.
I would think so. Now, the dogs also need to learn how to crawl through various spaces and go up and down ladders. Am I right?
Yes. Agility is a very important part of their training. They need to be able to go through tunnels and really crawl through small holes to get to areas that they need to search. They also, yes, they do need to climb ladders because if sometimes when you have, say, an earthquake and you've got a two-story home, the first, you know, it's shifted. So you may not be able to get into the first floor. So you can quickly throw a ladder up against that home, have the dog climb it, and go through a window on the second floor.
Fascinating. Where do you find dogs to be a part of the teams?
Well, with our foundation, we actually locate most of our dogs at shelters and breed rescue groups. The characteristics that make a good search dog are the same characteristics that end these dogs up in the shelters.
Meaning?
Meaning the high drive. They're very high energy. They're the type of dog that if you leave them in the backyard, and you don't give them something to do, they will find something to do, like tear up your sprinkler system. It's the same dog that if you throw a ball for it five times and you're done, the dog will continue to drive you crazy bringing it back to you until you take it away.
Now, can people bypass shelters if they have a dog like this who might make a good search dog? Can they contact you directly?
Absolutely. They can contact our canine manager. And what she will do is ask a series of questions. But the best thing, there's very specific things we look for in these dogs as far as age. They need to be 10 to 18 months old, for example. If you go to our website, it has a whole list of the criteria. And you'll know if your dog is a dog that we're looking for.
Excellent. I do want to ask you this, though. You've now got a 122-acre site worth over $4 million. But I assume your job really begins now in terms of having to raise the money to actually build the facility, right?
That's exactly right. We need to fundraise about $15 million, and that is including finishing paying off the note of the property. We still owe 3.1 on it. We also need to raise the funds to build it, but we also need to raise the funds to create an endowment that will make sure that, you know, it takes care of that site as far as depreciation and maintenance.
So if people want to help you out in this effort and or if they have dogs that they would like to donate to the cause, they can find you at www.searchdogfoundation.com. www.deborahdeborah.org.
That's exactly right.
Great. Deborah, thanks so much for the work that you do. I assume that all of us want to avoid disasters in every possible way that we can, but I live in California, not too far from a fault zone, and I certainly would like to know that there are these sorts of search teams available should an earthquake occur.
Well, the way I look at it are these teams are like insurance. You hope you never need it, but if you do, you're sure glad it's there.
Great. Deborah Tosh, thanks so much for being on the Good Dog Podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
As always, I love to hear your feedback, read your reviews on iTunes, and get suggestions from you for future topics. Recently, a listener in County Cork, Ireland, turned me onto a ranch in my area where Lulu will be spending next week while we're on vacation. And yes, I'll be turning it into a Good Dog episode very soon. I always respond to emails, so please feel free to write. Either click on Email Joanne on the Good Dog Podcast homepage or email gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.